Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest today is Kirill Sukhotsky, executive editor at Current Time. Welcome, Kirill. Thanks for being on the show again.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for the invitation. Good to be back.
All right. Well, I wanted to kind of take stock of the situation surrounding ties between Russia and Belarus. While nothing huge has happened, there have been quite a few developments in the past couple of months. After two meetings between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko in December, Russia entered the new year without a deal binding Minsk more tightly to Moscow. And now a visit from U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo this past weekend signaled support for the sovereignty of Belarus. And some analysts say that Putin's proposed constitutional changes in Russia suggest that, at least for the moment, heading up a closer union between Russia and Belarus is not plan A or maybe even not plan B for Putin in terms of retaining power after his term ends in 2024. At the same time, Russia seems to be keeping up the pressure on Minsk with energy supplies or lack of supplies and perhaps other levers. So has Lukashenko managed to keep Russia at bay for a long time to come? Or will the Kremlin step up the pressure for integration and prevail? Kirill, I think you said you are just back from Belarus. What do you think about this, and what's the feeling there about the situation?
I just came back last night, so I was for a couple of days in Belarus, actually, at the same time when Mike Pompeo was there. It's very interesting to see, because I've been watching Belarus for quite some time, and that talk of Belarus changing is an ever-present talk, and probably since 1994, that's the year when current President Lukashenko was elected for the first time. And from time to time, there is it a wishful thinking when people start saying, okay, now tectonic plates seem to shift? And they seem to shift every several years, and then nothing happens. Yeah. And what Lukashenko does extremely well is playing Russia and the West. So he makes some overtures to one or the other and then does a retreat and then again. So he obviously depends hugely economically on Russia. So he can't disappoint Russia in a way. But at the same time, he does that dance with the West when he wants some concessions from the West, also hedging his bets. So, and that is some kind of a joker card that he can present to Putin or to Russia. Oh, and if you don't give me what I want, then I have the West, which right. is obviously extremely infuriating for Moscow. So, he has done this since 1994. What he does now, what he probably wants to do, is continue the same until doomsday. But whether he will be allowed to do that, that's an interesting question now. I've spoken to quite a few people in Belarus over the past couple of days. There is, again, this talk of tectonic plates shifting, something is going on, quote unquote. So this is kind of, again, the feeling. It's interesting when you walk the streets of Belarus, which is almost like a national park of the Soviet Union. Nothing seems to have changed since 1990s. But you see the young generation of people, these young people who are very pro-European, very free. There are some pockets of, you know, the Western influence everywhere in the capital, Minsk. So this is all happening. And now Mike Pompeo visited. This is the first visit of the U.S. Secretary of State since 1994, actually shortly before Lukashenko was elected, then Bill Clinton was there. Mm-hmm. And this is the highest profile U.S. visit since that time. So now Lukashenko is, and it's very interesting that I watch the state TV newscasts, and half of them were devoted to Pompeo's visit. It was so important.
Yeah.
They just wheeled the whole circus into their news show. There was a story, a segment about who Pompeo is, where his parents come from, what he's done. You know, they were literally beefing this up as a mm-hmm. huge thing
right.
for their own country. So Pompeo didn't say something really important. He said that there is not a choice between us and them.
Mm-hmm.
And Belarus really wants it to be that way, so there is not a choice. But there will be a moment where Russia will step in and say, no, actually, there is a mm-hmm. choice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the interesting bit. Belarus is... Russia almost thinks of it as their own property. But at the same time, this is a country that borders three European Union member states. This is a country that borders Ukraine. This is a country of extreme strategic importance. It's like a buffer between Russia and Europe, or Western Europe, Central Western Europe. So this country was almost like in Russia's backyard. And now, obviously, Europe and the West thinks, okay, this is something that maybe we may have economic and political interests to pursue there. And the United States and Pompeo said that they will reinstall the ambassador there because there is no U.S. ambassador right. currently in the country. So they will improve the ties and so on and so forth. In Belarus, there is always this, you know, there are two centers of power in Belarus. One is a foreign ministry, mm-hmm. Which is thought to be more pro-European in mm-hmm. a way. And then there is the KGB, which still retains its name.
Yeah.
So it's law enforcement and all this, which is extremely pro-Moscow and pro-Russian. And Lukashenko again does the dance between them, mm-hmm. keeps both of them at bay. So neither foreign ministry nor the KGB gets the upper hand because he's like a chairman of the board who balances those interests. So if either side prevails, that's when things may become really interesting and the situation can deteriorate and develop quite quickly. One more detail is it's very interesting that Pompeo, that visit was obviously rescheduled from early in the month when events in Iran prevented Pompeo from going. But so we knew that Pompeo will visit on February 1st. And then on January 31st, Lukashenko and his defense ministry, new defense minister because he did a shakeup, announced military drills
right.
That were happening around Minsk. And then some anonymous telegram channels in Russia were reporting all week that apparently Putin invited Lukashenko to spend a week in Black Sea resort of Sochi mm. to discuss further integration. And that visit was apparently supposed to happen between January 31st and February 5th. So it was an appearance of a conflict because actually Lukashenko would have had to choose between us and them
right.
whether to host Pompeo or to go to Putin. We don't know whether any of it is true, but even that narrative that something is throwing this into public domain, this is interesting because this is a power play.
Absolutely, it's quite fascinating what you say about the kind of the KGB and the foreign ministry, those two kind of camps. It's kind of like a dance within a dance between Russia and the West or the U.S. And a little personal aside, it kind of reminds me of, we were talking about when was I last in Belarus, and I remembered that it was sometime after 2010 or so, and I was able to interview Lukashenko. And he was on, I mean, it just reminded me of this his balancing act, because he was on kind of a pro-Russia kick in the interview, maybe because I'm from the West, but he, you know, he was talking about how what great allies they are and everything, and how bad the EU and Britain and America are. So that was kind of he used the interview at that time to make those points. And also another very interesting thing you mentioned is the idea of the choice. You know, Pompeo said you don't have to choose between Russia and the U.S. or the West. But, you know, you mentioned that Russia, at some point, the Kremlin is going to say, well, you do have to. And that reminded me of the situation with Ukraine in end of 2013 when, you know, they were supposed to sign the association agreement with the EU. And people were saying, you know, no choice. You can do both. You can be in the European Economic Union. And it turned out that, in fact, they did have to make a choice. And at the time, Yanukovych chose Russia, essentially, and everything that happened went from there. So, you know, that's maybe a kind of a frightening recent history that says something about. You know, the tension that's still persisting with Belarus. One thing I wanted to ask sort of maybe a little bit more specifically is the situation with oil and gas. Pompeo, I guess the Russia cut off oil supplies, not the transit oil, but oil supplies used in Belarus, I believe, at the end of the year. Pompeo said the U.S. is willing and able to supply Belarus with all the oil and gas it needs. Do you think this figures into? Obviously, it's a signal of we're ready to support your sovereignty. How do you think this fits into the situation and what Lukashenko or what Minsk is thinking?
I think it's a rhetorical. It's very important rhetorical thing to say, or even on Lukashenko's side, for Putin to hear.
Yeah.
Because that was not a message. I don't think it was Pompeo's message to Belarus. It was Pompeo's message to the Kremlin.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that Russia cut off those transit supplies. And then when Belarus wanted to get some oil from Kazakhstan, Russia prevented them from happening. They said, no, you can't do that.
Right.
Belarus bought some oil from Norway, but it was a very symbolic amount. Mm. It's really the amount that they bought from Norway is enough for 3 days of operation and only one oil refinery that they have, one of the oil refineries that they have. So it's really small, but it was kind of a symbolic gesture. Well, we can then deal with Norway.
Right.
It was a bit of a symbolic statement from Pompeo, because if Belarus wants, they can buy now. They don't need Pompeo's offer. Sure. to buy that oil, because the one thing that U.S. is willing to supply Belarus with the oil and gas it needs, what is in the brackets, on market pricing.
Right.
And that's exactly what Belarus doesn't want, because Belarus currently gets oil and gas it needs from Russia on extremely subsidized pricing, and that's what keeps Lukashenko afloat. What is factoring into all this is that Lukashenko, this is an election year not only in the United States, but in Belarus as well. Belarus will have its presidential election in summer, probably. I've heard a date August 30, which is very interestingly, tellingly, Lukashenko's birthday. He will run for, if I'm not mistaken, sixth term.
Mm.
So he's been there since 1994. He's the first and only president that Belarus had. Now what Russia and the West both know is that they can play Lukashenko, because he's a bit unstable, because he's going, obviously he will win that election,
right,
but at what cost, and whether he will be able to suppress protests. If you were, you know, you said after 2010, at 2010 there was another election which Lukashenko won, but it coincided with huge street protests,
right,
and, you know, which was something that country did not see. And as now Lukashenko watched Ukraine intently, and Lukashenko understands that any mass protest can end in a very unexpected way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, I guess the election gives kind of cards, you know, both to Russia and also to the West to try to affect the situation. So quite interesting. And I guess let's wrap it up there. That's all for this week. Kirill, thank you very much for joining me.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Tune in next week for another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia, and please take a look at my weekly article on events in Russia, which runs on Fridays. Thanks for listening.